the whole team should have stayed. It went to one.
He just has it. 5 seconds to go. Bridges for three. Yeah!
Oh! The big star delivers. The big star delivers. And that's what you want him, the big star.
Welcome back to episode 28 of the Spartan Wolverines Beard Podcast. 2 weeks removed, I think.
Yet again.
Like
this is our new trend, and it's not planned, we promise.
Yeah, this is not planned. We had a death in Kendra's family, so we needed to attend to that. Thank you guys for being patient with us while we took care of family matters.
We're hoping we can get back on our regular scheduled weekly podcast now. Yeah. Hopefully. Knock on wood.
I got the flu knocked out of me this past weekend. Knock on wood.
I had something knocked out of me this weekend. I don't know what it was, but phew. Anyways, we don't need to discuss that.
No. So, if you guys haven't already, make sure you like us, rate us, subscribe to us on Facebook, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts.
Anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wherever you're listening to this at, if you haven't subscribed yet, you need to be.
Yeah. Do it now.
Yeah.
Thank you. So looking over this week's episode, we're going to talk a little college basketball. The tides have turned yet again between Michigan and Michigan State basketball.
And not only Michigan, Michigan State, but the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The Big Ten has just been a roller coaster of the whole season. It is. So, but again, in the 2 weeks, it's just changed again completely.
It's crazy right now. We're going to talk a little NFL Combine. Going to talk a little who was hot at the Combine, who wasn't, and what are the Lions going to do now after we've seen our first real taste of collegiate players and their measurements. And then finally,
I like to call it the Underwear Olympics.
It's true.
That's all it is. It's athletes in their underwear running around. I mean,
it's true.
It is what it is, right?
If I do that, I'm...
If we did that, people would throw up.
Well, they'd throw up and turn us in, but dear God, they put that on TV.
Yeah, right.
Sons of bitches. Anyways, and then lastly, we're going to sprinkle a little breadcrumbs for some exciting things we're going to be doing with the podcast over the next...
If you haven't listened to the previous podcast, you got to listen to the previous podcast to know what these breadcrumbs are about.
Exactly. So, got to listen.
And you got to stay till the end of this episode to find out what this week's breadcrumb is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just what it is. We run the podcast. We make the rules.
Yeah. Our shit. We do what we want. So, anyways, with that all being said, I'm going to hand it over to Jordan so we can talk some college basketball.
Yes. Yeah,
so
like we kind of touched on a little bit there in our opening. The college basketball season, now the calendar's flipped to March, everything matters now. I mean, obviously the Big Ten, this is the final regular week, and there are still 5 teams in the race for an outright Big Ten title. Maryland controls their own destiny. If they win, they lost last night, so they have to beat Michigan Sunday, and then they can get a share. If they lose, then any one of Michigan State, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Illinois can jump in and either get a share or an outright. I mean, it's crazy.
It's a mess.
They showed a graphic last night of the Michigan State, Penn State game, and it showed Maryland, Michigan State, Illinois, Penn State, Wisconsin. I want to say there's 6 or 7 teams, and it showed with 2 games left to play for everybody where their potential was they could land in the Big Ten bracket. And every single one of them could get to number 1, and everybody but Maryland could get all the way down to number 8.
That's insane.
So Maryland's floor was 5, but everybody else's floor was 8. And that's with 2 games left. Like, I can't ever remember the Big Ten being this log jammed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and for a while, in the last few weeks, it started to look like, you know, the talk all season was, can they get 12 teams? You know, Nebraska, Northwestern are terrible, so you know they're not, but can they get the other 12 in? And then the Purdue's, the Minnesota's, the Indiana's, they all started to kind of fall off. And now, with last week, and then Rutgers' big win last night against Maryland, now it looks like it's back to 11, because I think Minnesota has played their way out.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to win something next week in the Big Ten tournament. But Right now, I think the last bracket I saw, Lenardi had 10 in with Purdue as like the first team out. And they're 2 games over 500.
Yeah, that's surprising.
So this rest of this week and next week in Indy is going to be a ride. It's going to be, I mean, Purdue, Indiana, Minnesota, these teams towards the bottom half, Rutgers even, and if Michigan doesn't straighten out, these teams are going to need a win to lock in a spot.
Yep.
So, but let's get into Michigan, Michigan State a little bit. Obviously, we just touched on Michigan State played last night. Did you watch any of the game?
No, I was keeping up on Twitter, though.
So I watched it from the tip because I'm locked in right now on it because, I mean, just of what the season is now. Michigan State, last time we recorded, they were reeling. You know, they had lost 4 out of 5. They were struggling, and we were starting to wonder, you know, can this team right the ship? Can they put it together? And the answer to that question is a very adamant yes, they can. So now they've rattled off wins at Nebraska versus Iowa, at Maryland, and then last night at Penn State. 3 of those teams ranked in the top 25. Mm-hmm. So those are 3 extremely good wins, especially with 2 of them being on the road. And then last night they were down 19 with 4.5 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah, they were getting crushed.
And then at the 15-minute mark of the second half, they were winning. So they had erased a 19-point deficit in like 9 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane. Now, Penn State, in the first half of that game, they were making everything. Every single one of their guys threw up a 3, and that bastard went in. As long as it wasn't Lamar Stevens, because he couldn't hit anything.
You know, and I think I saw somebody share a graphic on Twitter last night. It was like Penn State, like in every game they've been in, or like their past 6 games, and their combined like 3-point percentage was like 25% or something like that, and they were hitting it against Michigan State at like 40 or 50%.
Well, it was a tale of two halves. So the first half, Penn State hit 10 threes.
Mm-hmm.
The second half, they hit 0. So, I mean, that just showed. And they weren't great looks. Yes, there were some looks where a blown assignment on a switch or something, but of those 10 threes, I would say 5 of them were heavily contested shots that they just made.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on, when somebody's hot, you're not going to beat them. Now, they went cold, and Michigan State stayed the course and just did what a senior-led team should do in that situation and persevered through it. So right now, if the Big Ten tournament started today, they would be the 1 seed.
Yep.
Because they have the tiebreakers over Maryland. I think they have Ohio State at home on Sunday at 4:30, and I believe by that point, the other teams that will be in contention, because Michigan and Maryland play at noon. So by the time they tip off, they'll know that if they win, they can have either an outright or a split of the conference title. And you got to think with Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman's senior day, that crowd's going to be juiced.
Yeah.
I mean, but outside of Michigan State, Ohio State might be the hottest team in the Big Ten right now. They just seem to keep finding ways to win.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be an interesting game. I mean, it could be for a conference title. It's seeding. It's tournament seeding. I mean, at this point, if Michigan State wins that game and puts together 3 in the Big Ten tournament, they could play their way into a 2 seed again.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, that's really the situation they put themselves back in this last week and a half. So, and then the one thing we kept talking about is who's going to be that third guy, and it is Rocket Watts.
Yeah.
But now, before last night, he was exactly what we said. You need that secondary option. Yep. But when those two can't do the pick and roll, who can go get a bucket? He'd been doing it, knocking down threes, hitting a good mid-range. Last night in the first half, he started to revert back to the first 2 weeks of the season, Rocket Watts, where he was jacking up everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, I started thinking to myself, man, if he keeps doing this, he's gonna shoot them right out of this game. And he didn't. He settled back in, got back in the rhythm, and like we talked about, they made that huge run. And really, it was, I mean, Penn State made it close in the second half, but Michigan State dominated it in the back 20 minutes. I mean, it was dominated.
And you know, and it, like you said, that Rocket Watts has come, that guy, Aaron Henry finally showed up a little bit. Now, granted, I didn't watch the game. I've read a couple articles on it and just going off the Twitter sphere on it. I mean, it's the Spartan team seems like it's definitely clicking at the right time, and they're starting to play like they should have been playing all season. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very interesting this weekend against Ohio State, and that's going to be really interesting for the conference tournament.
And in the past, it's always been the thing where Izzo doesn't care about the Big Ten tournament. Mm-hmm. So he says that they all care.
They all care.
But it's, you know, Cassius Winston has played a lot of minutes this mm-hmm. year, and he's got the known issue with his knees, and he's got bad knees. I mean, he looks like he's limping the whole time he's playing.
He looks tired.
Absolutely. Now, the one who doesn't is Xavier Tillman. That dude is just, to me, he's their most important player mm-hmm. right now. Because what he's doing, like what he did against Iowa and Luka Garza, he essentially eliminated Luka Garza, mm-hmm. who is in consideration for National Player of the Year.
Yeah, he's one of the
and
two.
And Tillman shut him down. Mm-hmm. Like, he took that dude out of the game, and nobody's been able to do that yet. So, to me, that's the biggest factor for them is if Xavier Tillman gets in foul trouble, they're in trouble because there is no five behind him that can do anywhere close. Like, Kithier can't do it. Bam can't do it.
Nope.
None of those guys are ready for that yet. So, Xavier Tillman going forward in the tournament is the most important player for this team.
It's going to be interesting because I do think this could be a team if, say, they do win the conference tournament outright and they fall into a two seed. This could be a team that we said all along, it's going to be a team that's going to get hot at the right time.
Can they do that?
You could say that this could be a team that there's hot at the right point, and they've got enough horses in the stable right now, the way it looks.
Now what's going to be a common factor, and you're going to hear us talk about it this week and next week, is it's all going to come down to the draw. In this sense, this tournament, more than any year, your draw is so important.
Yep.
Because what Michigan State can't have is they can't be a 4 or a 5. Like, they can't lose to Ohio State and lose first game of the Big Ten tournament and fall to a 4 or a 5 seed and get paired with, like, a Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Who plays in-your-face lock-up defense and is fine with playing a 55-54 game.
Yep.
Because that's the team that's going to beat them.
Yep.
A team that can completely shut that down. They can't have that kind of matchup. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about Michigan and kind of what I think their thing is here in a minute. But the draw for this NCAA tournament is so crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Not only who, but where, too. Like, being regionally located is going to be extremely important.
It's going to be a fun tournament, I feel.
As long as the coronavirus doesn't ruin it for everybody. But, you know,
we'll
stay away from that. Just, you know, they're talking about no tournament, no games with fans. I mean, the NCAA won't ever let it happen.
They're doing that in Italy already.
I saw a soccer game or something.
Yeah, they're already no fans.
Yeah, we'll see. It's not anywhere near what it is over that way yet.
No.
So, that note, let's get into Michigan a little bit. Obviously, last time we recorded, we were talking about, is this the team that we saw in the Bahamas now? You know, everybody's healthy, everybody playing good, and then Eli Brooks gets his nose shattered in Purdue and misses the Wisconsin game because of a sinus infection that he got from what it now came out. Everybody thought he was just out because of his nose, which was like, wow, really? A nose is keeping you out? Well, no. He had a sinus infection. That's why he didn't play. Mm-hmm. But it showed that you lost your best on-ball defender against a Wisconsin team that plays three guards and likes to shoot a lot of threes because they lit him up. And there was bad communication, and just that Wisconsin game last Thursday was a perfect storm of bad. I mean, everything went wrong that could have gone wrong for Michigan, and they looked horrible, and yet at the tail end of that game, they were still in it. They still had a shot to make a run late, and they didn't do it, lost the game. And then Sunday, go to Columbus, it's same old song and dance again. I mean, the game's close. They tied it up with like 7 minutes left, and they still lost the game by 14 points.
Yeah.
I mean, now granted, there was still some, like, both the Wesson brothers banked in a three as the shot clock was expiring late in the game. I mean, there was a lot of bad bounces late that really blew that game open. But it really brought out a glaring hole in Michigan, and that's a stretch five. If there's a five-man that can stretch the floor and shoot a three, Michigan has really, really struggled with that this year. Luka Garza did it, and now you saw Michael Potter from Wisconsin, Caleb Wesson from Ohio State now twice has done it. So they have to figure out a way to rectify that pick and pop with a stretch five, and it's not Austin Davis. I mean, as good as he's been on the offensive end, his defense is putrid. I mean, it's bad. Like, he doesn't – you would think for a senior that he would understand the rotations a little better, but he just doesn't seem to get that. Now, what he brings on the offensive end, sometimes it outweighs that. You have to balance the trade of offense and defense. But, you know, now you're a team that's – you went from a week and a half ago that maybe we can make a run and maybe get into the share of the conference title, and now you're like, well, now we're an 8-seed, 9-seed in the tournament, and if we don't beat Nebraska and Maryland – we're probably going to fall back down to that 7-8 line in the NCAA tournament. And you don't want to be that 8-9 game and have to play one. Unless you're in San Diego State's pod, then I think...
you've got a shot.
You might be okay, because I think San Diego State's a little bit of smoke and mirrors. We'll get there next week when we talk a bit more about that. But, so, yeah, it's a big week for them. Nebraska at home Thursday. Has to be a win. I mean, Nebraska's one of the worst college basketball teams I've ever seen. They're terrible. They got beat by Northwestern twice, so I mean, that's pretty bad.
That's not a good sign.
You can't even beat them at home. I mean, you're in bad shape. So, and then the tough game Sunday at Maryland, where Maryland is fighting for a conference title. They've lost two in a row now to Michigan State and Rutgers. So you're going to go into that game, and it's going to be a fight. Now, that is a matchup that I do think Michigan matches up well in. Now, Jalen Smith versus John Teske is a little scary because Jalen Smith is an athletic big, and Teske's proven to have problems with that. But he's not as much of a stretch. I mean, he can shoot, but he's not Caleb Wesson. He's not Michael Potter. He's not those guys. He can step out and shoot it, but not as much. So I do like that matchup, but being at Maryland, senior day, you know, last game, they're playing for a conference title, you can't see that as a win. So this week, if you get 1-1, you finish 500 in the conference, you're probably the 8-seed in the conference tournament. And that means you play Rutgers again, who you've beaten twice. And really, the scores were closer, but you really dominated them. Mm-hmm. So that's okay, because the only problem with that is then you play the 1-seed in the second round. But in the Big Ten this year, really, I don't think that really matters.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the gap between 1 and 8 is just...
It's going to be 1 to 2 games.
Yeah,
I mean, and every single one of those teams have beaten each other.
Yeah.
It's like in the Big Ten tournament, I think seeding means nothing.
Yeah.
Whereas the NCAA tournament, it means everything.
Right.
It's kind of a weird hyperbole there. Like, it means so much here, but it doesn't really mean anything over here. Because I'm telling you right now, if Purdue plays on Wednesday, they'll be playing on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, it's Matt Painter will do that, because that's just what he does. He always finds a way to freaking do that. I don't know why or how, but he does. So with Michigan, yeah, it's like we said, Michigan State, the NCAA tournament's going to be a big seeding thing for them. I would be better with them in like a 5-12 matchup where you get a last team in, yeah, than an upstart mid-major team, yeah, who can play small and really stretch the court and shoot the lights out. Because that's what's going to beat Michigan, is a team that can stretch you out and take your bigs away from, yep, the basket. That's the big fear there. So I'd rather play, you know, that last team in, the play-in game guys. I'd rather be in that spot as a Michigan fan personally than if they got East Tennessee State, I'm shitting my pants. Like, that's asking to get beat in the first round. Not only are they good, that's a prime example of what you get beat by as Michigan. So, it'll be interesting. Michigan's got to win Thursday, and I'd love to see them go into Maryland and at least put up a good fight, mm-hmm, and knock down shots. I mean, Franz Wagner at this point has been the only one who's been anything close to consistent. Isaiah Livers doesn't look healthy.
No.
I mean, he looks sluggish. He looks slow. Xavier Simpson's still trying to do too much, but I think he has to. And I was critical of him early in the year, but at this point, if he had players around him, this dude could be you could be talking about him for the Wooden Award with what he's doing. I mean, he's leading the country in assists, and that's with guys that can't shoot. Imagine if Jordan Poole and Iggy Brazdeikis were still on this team.
That'd be a nasty team.
I mean, his assist numbers, he'd be averaging 10 to 12 assists a game.
Wait, Jeff
Jackson, sorry.
Jeff Jackson, yeah.
Well, we need to get Jeff Jackson back, because when he was Jeff Jackson, that dude was balling. But, if that's the worst thing that happens in Michigan, and for as far as cover-ups or whatever you want to call it, we'll take it.
Right.
But so yeah, this week is important. You got to at minimum go 1-1, 2-0 would be great. 1-1 gets you 500 in the Big Ten, and I think 500 in the Big Ten is more than acceptable this year.
Yeah.
Especially considering all the injuries that Michigan has had. So everybody's back. Hopefully they can stay healthy and push into the games that really matter. So the other thing we put down here we want to talk about is our NCAA tournament. Who we think the title contender is,
right now? Like, right. You, so what do you want? Do you want to do one team? You want to do like two or three? Or you want? What are you thinking? Final four?
Ooh, I. Yeah, we're all final four. I want to hear who you've got because okay. I'm still forming. I'm still cooking.
So obviously, we talked. Like I mentioned, the seeding and the brand, like all that, is going to be so important in this, but. When I'm doing March Madness, I look at, when it comes to matchups, I want to know who's the best player, who's the best coach. Mm-hmm. Like, those two things mean a lot in this. So, I think right now, the hottest teams, obviously you have to consider Kansas just because they're steamrolling everybody. Now, I think they're extremely flawed.
Mm-hmm.
But I would take Kansas. I would take, depending on the bracket, I think Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Just because I think they'll be a one seed and that road could be a lot easier for them. I like Seton Hall right now because Miles Powell is a man possessed. And don't sleep on Dayton with Obi Toppin.
Okay.
I think Dayton might creep into that last one seed spot.
Okay.
Because they've only got two losses right now, and they're both in overtime. So, I don't know. What do you got? What are your four?
You see, and that I've struggled with this one. I'm going to go, no particular reason, I'm going to take Kansas. I had them as well. I feel like they're, like you said, they're a flawed team, but they're a hot team. I'm going to go Gonzaga because I feel like this is another year where you could see a Gonzaga team make it. I'm going to be the homer. I'm going to go Michigan State. I feel like they're going to pull it out and possibly get a good draw. And then lastly, I'm going to stick with one of my originals, and I'm going to go Oregon.
Hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, Oregon's been really struggling lately in the Pac-12. I mean, there's 25 teams that could make the Final Four this year. It's going to be such a fun tournament. It really is. But I don't know. We'll touch on the Big Ten tournament next week because the games will start Wednesday. The first games will be Wednesday before we record, but the important games start Thursday. So we'll cover that a little bit, I think, next week.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're done with college basketball. Let's talk a little NFL combine. We're going to kind of run over, you know, who had a good combine showing, who had a bad one, maybe how they helped or hurt the draft stocks, and we'll talk about how the Lions screw up the third pick yet again this year because that's just what they do. It's their forte at this point. They're going to screw it up.
Bite so. Your tongue.
Facts are facts. I mean, it is what it is at this point. They're going to draft Justin Herbert. Watch.
Please don't do that to me.
Okay. Anyways, all right. So go ahead, Lane. What do you think? What do you got for who's hot, who's not? What are you thinking? What do you got from the whole combine thing?
So from the combine, I'm just going to quickly run through four names, three of which I feel are very realistic possibilities, one of which I think you could potentially see at three. The other two of them are going to be somebody I could see us taking in second, maybe third round. And then the fourth is just somebody who's an absolute freak of nature, I think, needs to be talked about. So I'll start with who I think we could potentially see in Detroit. I don't want him in Detroit, because I'll explain that in a few minutes, is Isaiah Simmons. Bring a fourth. 3.940, absolutely shredded the combine. Mm-hmm. Tested out at, is it four or five positions? It was DN, linebacker, corner, safety. Yeah. And was it linebacker?
It might have been. He might have done some in the middle.
They showed, because NFL Network does like the cool thing where they shadow like other players when they're running. His 40s are faster than like DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, he was out running wide receivers. Yeah, exactly. Julio Jones.
And OBJ.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, I've never seen that. Yeah, that was it's just stupid.
It's insane. Now, the flip side of that, which I could potentially catch flack for, is I don't want him in Detroit. And here's why. Is because we've already talked, and there's already talk, that Matt Patricia could be gone this next season. He is a very much Swiss Army knife type player that would fit Matt Patricia's system. So if he's let go, you could get a coach in there that doesn't know what to do with him. And that is a scary thought when you're drafting at 3. Now, is he somebody that could transform a defense? Absolutely. Now, he could end up in going to New York at 4, which I think that's what's going to happen. I think he's too good of an athlete, and then New York's going to say, we'll make it work, because we've got another Swiss Army knife in Jabril Peppers playing for us. So But for me, in Detroit, I don't think that is the right fit, just solely based upon the fact that Matt Patricia could be looking at his last season. Another guy that I didn't put him down, which I'll get to him in a little bit. Next guy that I was really impressed with, who I thought did really well, is Jonathan Taylor. The whole thought on Jonathan Taylor all the season, if you were listening, was he's too slow. He's too slow, he's too slow, he's too slow. He's a product of that great offensive line. He's too slow, he's too slow. He ran a 4.39 40.
Yeah, they shadowed him with, like, Christian McCaffrey and guys like that, and he was beating them.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, this dude is no slouch.
Mm-hmm. I know the one knock on Jonathan Taylor that I've seen a lot of is his vision.
Yeah, his vision is
that if the offensive line doesn't, if the hole that he's supposed to run to isn't there, that he struggles.
Right.
So.
And I've seen that as well. Now, I could see him, one of the mock drafts I've read is a Lions trade back to 5, with
Miami,
and in the second round they picked up like the 39th pick, and they used that to pick up Jonathan Taylor. I would be fine with that.
I don't think he's going to be there.
I don't think he is either. I think he'll be gone in the first.
I hope he is, because I have something else, kind of something I want to throw out there.
So then my next big riser is Chase Claypool from Notre Dame.
Want to talk about a freak.
Yeah, that dude absolutely stole the show this past weekend. A 4.42 40 and a 40.5-inch vertical. And he's 6'4", 235.
Yeah, the big question with him is he a wide receiver? Is he a tight end?
Well, and that's what they're saying. They're saying he could be a really good hybrid type player, or very much what O.J. Howard should have been.
Can I tell you about that? I drafted him in fantasy.
As did I. but he could be a very good hybrid player. He could be somebody that you could line up at tight end, because he is a good blocker. Mm-hmm. And then you could stretch him outside and just throw balls and just lob it up to him saying, go get it. Because there's not going to be very many safeties and corners out there that are, one, going to be able to cover him in single coverage, and two, they're going to outjump somebody that's 6'4 and has a 3.5.
What was his 40?
4.42.
Yeah, that'll do.
That'll do, donkey. That'll do.
Okay.
And then my last one is, because he's an absolute freak of nature, is Mekhi Barton from Louisville.
You mean Mekhi Becton?
Becton.
His last name is Becton. Becton.
Oh, yeah, I can't read my own penmanship. Anyways.
Another freak of nature.
Yeah, 6'7", 364, runs a 5.14.
Yeah.
He pretty much just solidified himself into the top 10.
You would think. Whoever needs an offensive lineman, I mean.
And which I think he goes to Arizona, because I think Kyler needs that.
He needs a lot.
And that's a great insurance policy, somebody that big. So for me, those are kind of my four big standouts. I mean, my fifth is Okuda, but Okuda, he showed out, but then he tried to catch a ball, went down a little too hard, was hurt a little bit, and Deion Sanders came out and said, stop. Like, don't do anymore. You're showing out. Call it a day. And that's what he did. So, I mean, I think if you would have gotten more from him on that, I think that would have been a little impressive. I liked how Okuda's, how fluid he looks when he's in coverage.
Yeah, he's a pure athlete.
Yeah, he's a pure athlete. His hips are extremely smooth, which is great to see in the NFC North. So, Jordan, what you got?
So, for guys who helped their stock, let's put it that way. I don't know if I would go with hot or not, but and I don't know what this does as far as draft order, but a guy that stood out to me was Willie Gay from Mississippi State. So this is a guy that had issues off the field. So he was suspended a couple games, but the dude tested out in like the 99th percentile of everything he tested out in. A freak of nature. He's a top 15 pick without those off-field issues. Mm-hmm. The problem with it is those issues are there. And we've seen in years past, like see Laramie Tunsil, these guys that have these off-the-field issues, the teams are like a little bit, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But a supreme talent falls into the second or even the third round. I mean, this is a guy that I think, with if you took all those away, he's a first-round pick no matter what. But now they're talking late second, early third. Mm-hmm. To me, that dude, with what he showed out, if he gets outside of the second, it is a crime to football because the dude is a freak. Absolute freak. Another guy who I think the combine helped him, but it'll be interesting to see what how the teams weigh out the on-the-field tape, because on the field you look at it and go, eh? But when you look at the combine, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what it was Donovan Peoples-Jones from Michigan.
Yeah.
The dude had a 40, it was like 44 and a half inch vertical or something.
It's insane.
Stupid. Ran four, low fours in the 40. I mean, he did everything he tested out at was phenomenal. But then you go turn the tape on and you see all the drops. You see the poor route running. And you see he can't stay on the field. So the combine had to have helped him. But the question will be is how much does the tape really matter for him? So I'll be interested to see there. Off the top of my head, I don't really have anybody I think really hurt their stock outside of maybe like the Jake Fromms. You know, his hands measured extremely small, and there's talk about, you know, Chicago's interested in him, but do you really want those small hands in Chicago and the cold? I mean, is he going to be able to grip a football with that? I mean, so that kind of that was the one name that stuck out to me with like kind of in the combine. But now, as far as the Lions go, at three, I'm not in the same boat as you with Isaiah Simmons, because in my mind, who's drafting right now doesn't care about the coaching situation. Because if Matt Patricia gets fired, Bob Quinn's getting fired too.
Right.
So these guys are drafting for how can we win right now? And I think Isaiah Simmons is the best bet for that. Now, there's all kinds of concerns about Chase Young, and there's talk that he's slipping. I don't know, man. If he's sitting there at three, how do you say no to that?
To Chase Young or Isaiah Simmons?
Chase Young.
Oh, God. You sprint to the podium to get Chase
Young. Yeah, but there's talk that he's dropped, like he's slipping.
Well, and the talk also is that Washington, like Dwayne Haskins, they said, can't read a playbook. And that concern is they're saying they are looking at Tua, Herbert, Jordan Love at two. And if that's the case, Lions just got gifted a potential, like, perennial Pro Bowler.
Right.
And I think
But then there's still the concerns. Like, where are these? Why? What are these concerns? Why are they coming up? I mean, he didn't do anything at the combine, right?
No, he said he didn't. He said that he wants the tape to do the talk for itself. He doesn't want anything to do with it. Which I can understand that when you're when you already said that you're the best player in the draft.
Right.
And you go to the combine and say you don't show out like you exactly should.
Yeah, maybe you have a couple underwhelming
stats. I mean, the difference between being the second pick and the number five pick is a shitload of money.
Right, absolutely. So I get that. Now, to me, the Lions, I think they're doing it. Now, if you read the tea leaves and you take it for what people are saying, they're doing the right thing because they're dang. You know that somebody in that office threw out that carrot that they were looking at Tua.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody threw that out there on purpose. They ain't looking at Tua. They're stupid if that's the case.
Yeah.
But now it makes everybody else think, is Bob Quinn really that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Would he really trade Matt Stafford and draft Tua? He threw it out there. Those rumors are out there. And we all know social media, all you need is rumor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to have these guys, the Miamis, and the other teams that want a quarterback, sniffing. And they're going to want that third pick just to make sure they can get their guy. Because who knows if Miami's thinking that they're five and they say, well, if I don't go up to three, what if whoever else comes up and does, you know, and then I lose the guy I want.
Yeah, so, Chargers leapfrog from six to three. And
right, now you just lost the guy you want. Mm-hmm. So if nothing else, the rumors and all that has at least got the names flowing out there. To me, I would still like to see him trade back. If they can trade back and get Simmons at five, perfect world to me. trade back, if you can pick up another first or some more late round picks, whatever, and you can still get Simmons at five, to me that's perfect world.
See, to me, I don't think Simmons is going to be there at five. I think he, if he doesn't go to Detroit, he's destined for New York.
You think so?
I think so.
What if Okuda and Simmons are sitting there for the Giants? You already said they had the Swiss Army Knife and Jabril Peppers. Do you really need two if Okuda's sitting there? Because if Miami trades up to three, there's a very good chance that Okuda's sitting there at four.
I think they go Simmons. I really think so.
See, I would almost think they would lean Okuda in that sense. Then you don't have two guys that do the same thing.
It's true.
You have a shutdown corner and your Swiss Army Knife.
It's true.
I mean, it's the, you never know. They might trade too. Who knows?
Now, if you're the Lions and both of them aren't there, trade back again.
I might as well at that point.
I mean, just accumulate all the picks.
There's nobody else at that point. Mm-hmm. The middle of this draft is strong.
Oh, yeah, Javon Kinlaw and guys.
There's something that's like we were talking about with Jonathan Taylor. I kind of want Jonathan Taylor to be hyped because I don't want the Lions to take Jonathan Taylor. I want Cam Akers to keep falling because if Cam Akers is sitting there at 35 or whatever it is.
Oh,
they have got to take him because I think Cam Akers is Dalvin Cook 2.0.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Cam Akers to me, and he was my dark horse Heisman pick if you remember the beginning of this whole thing started.
Yep.
I said, this dude is a legit first-round talent. And if, like, J.K. Dobbins and Jonathan Taylor and all these other names keep kind of pushing up the draft board, and there's Cam Akers just hanging out over there, ran behind a shitty-ass offensive line in Florida State and got his ass kicked. He might be not a bad 1-2 punch to Kerryon Johnson. I mean, I'm just saying. You can't have one in the NFL. You got to have two.
And well, that's the way it is now. You have to have two backs.
You got to have two. Kerryon and him are a great combo.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's sitting there in that second round, they have got to take that. I mean, if they don't, they're stupid. I think anybody past 20 that doesn't take him is stupid. I think he's the best back in this draft, and I don't think it's close.
I would agree.
I mean, he is a freak athlete. He can do everything, and he played on a shitty team and did that.
See, I think what will happen is I think he'll fall early in the round two, and I think you see Indy take him at, what is it, 34?
That would hurt my soul.
Yeah,
aren't Lions 35?
Yeah.
Is it 35? Yeah. Is that what they have right now?
Yeah, so I could see Indy taking them at 34. Because Indy needs a running back because nobody can stay healthy there. So it's going to be interesting, man. I think we've toyed with the idea of doing a potential mock kind of special for a podcast. I know for me, I'm going with the thought process of the Lions at three. I'm with the thought process that it's another smoke and mirrors about Redskins with Chase and all that stuff. And I think they end up with Okuda. I think the thought process of possibly having Slay and Okuda on the same team together is extremely enticing when you play against Green Bay twice, you play against the Vikings twice, and you play against the Bears, who you know you can shut down the pass game. So then all you got to do is work on that run game, and the Bears are basically out of it. So to me, I just think that combo is just, it's too enticing for them, unless Chase falls. If Chase falls, you better be sprinting to that podium. Well, actually, won't be sprinting. You'll be rowing your boat out there, but it's in the fountain. But
that's dumb. But we'll get to that later, I suppose. And I don't know. I mean, the Lions have a tendency to screw this up, so I just have to think that they will. But
you're killing me.
What in their past says they won't?
It's true.
I mean, they screwed everything else up.
It's true
so far. So I mean, I don't know.
Scared to ruin a wet dream.
They have. His name is Barry Sanders.
Calvin.
Yeah. How many franchises can say they had top five wide receiver and a top five running back? No, top 10 wide receiver of all time. Top running back of all time. And they ruined him.
Mm-hmm. You know, they have one playoff win between them both.
Sad. So what else you got NFL-wise or combine-wise? I mean, you got anything else you want to touch on?
No, it's going to be interesting. I believe free agency starts the 18th, which will definitely talk back about that because you got TB12 out there.
He was at Gillette.
I did.
Was it yesterday or today?
I don't think he's going anywhere. I think this was... What... And in all reality, I mean, to really think about this, what team is willing to hinge, say, 2 years, $60 million for a 42-year-old quarterback? And what team's out there? I know he's got a bunch of rings. I know he does.
Just saying.
But the only team I could realistically, there's two teams I think that could have a shot. It's Tennessee, because of his relationship with Mike Vrabel, and then L.A. Now, the latest rumor, of course, is him going to San Francisco, and somehow Belichick has played the odds and got Jimmy G back in New England, which, to me, is if you're San Francisco, why?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Why trade a 27-year-old for a 42-year-old who's got 1 or 2 years
left? Why trade a young guy that you can build on for a rental?
Yeah, for a rental. And to me, I think that's what's going to come down to. And I personally think he stays in New England. I think he's going to get – he's playing hardball. He's doing what he's doing what NBA players do. And I think you're going to start seeing that more, is that they're saying, well, I'll take 1 year contract, and I'm going to walk. And then they say, oh, I'm going to go talk to Chicago, and I'm going to go talk to Tennessee. Right. And then they say, no, we'll pay you whatever you want to stay home. And
right.
There you go.
Yeah, well, it's a business. It is.
Well, it's good, and it's a smart business move for him. I mean,
if everybody balks and he retires as the top one of the top quarterbacks of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Darn.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. That'll be the main storyline until his domino falls. I don't think anybody else will be talked about.
So. Yeah, I think he's gonna be the first domino.
So. I think we could shut the NFL stuff down. Unless you had some more to go over there.
No, I'm good, man.
So we teased this earlier in the episode, and we're towards the end of this podcast now. So we've been sprinkling these breadcrumbs around, and there's going to be more of these continuing to be sprinkled. I wish I could do the little salt thing and just dripping the salt out there. So. We talked, it's been a month ago or whatever, 2 weeks ago now, where it was something free. So, Lane, what do we want to tell them this week? What are we feeling? How do you feel about this?
What this pertains with or to, it has already started and is well underway.
Oh, yeah, okay. I like that. I like that. And it's very on brand for the podcast.
Very on brand, well underway.
Yeah. So think about that. Stew on that for a little bit. And drop us some comments on Facebook, Twitter, whatever, what you think it might be still. Next week we'll have one more little teaser for you. And talking about next week, one other thing we discussed was potentially somebody out there wanting to maybe come in and co-host an episode with us for March Madness. Mm-hmm. So if you're a big college basketball fan and you've got opinions or thoughts, and maybe you want to join us for one of these episodes on a Wednesday night and discuss the upcoming March Madness. So obviously it wouldn't be next week, but it would be the following Wednesday because the playing games would start then, but the real games wouldn't have started yet. Drop us a line, text us something on social media, maybe. Let us know what your thoughts are, and if somebody's interested and we can find something that works, maybe that's something we'll do.
Yeah, and I think we might also kind of launch our own little bracket challenge. I think that would be...
Yeah, we've discussed it. Yeah, we might get something on ESPN or Yahoo where you guys can enter in, and we'll have a competition.
Might so
you guys
can try host to, opportunity
you guys
there.
Can try to beat me, because I know that ain't going to happen, but you can try, I guess.
You'll end up beating me, it's okay.
So I think with that, that probably covers everything we had for this week. Shorter episode, but really it's college basketball and then just little bits of NFL here and there, so we don't have a ton to go over right now. Baseball season's coming, but spring training's been kind of dull.
Yeah.
Outside of Mike Trout and Cody Bellinger hitting golf balls a mile, I don't think there's a whole lot else baseball-wise to talk about right now.
And the Astros are...
I think they're up to 11 hit-by-pitches now in spring, which is good to see. It's fun.
and everybody's making fun of him. Yeah. And see Aroldis Chapman sign their trash can today.
Did he really?
Their facility, he signed their trash can, yeah. It's not going to end all year. It's going to...
Well, like, I saw Rizzo, they were asking him, and they said, well, what do you think he's going to throw? And he said, I don't know, so he banged a trash can for
me. Yeah, somebody hit a trash can. Yeah, yeah. That stuff's not going to go away.
No, it's gold.
Baseball season is coming, so we'll get into a little bit more of that when it gets here, I suppose. But I don't know. You got any other final thoughts before we close this down for the week?
Nah, I'm good, man. Go green.
Go blue.